27 minutes to 10 o'clock every morning, round about this time. Barbara Friedman steps into studio. She and her team look after our social media, also curates our website, capetalk.co.za. Good morning, Barbara. Twending this overnight and this morning is hashtag Orania.
Yeah, I mean, every now and then we see Orania pop up in the socials. This time it was on the back of Panyaza Lesufi, the Gauteng MEC for Education, responding to the Freedom Front Plus elections manifesto, where he tweeted, "Dream on, Freedom Front Plus. Affirmative action will be with us until your ancestors' sins are eradicated. We are also ni bang ni. Orania will go. You can scream and shout as you wish." So there's been a whole debate on Twitter. A lot of people, black and white, saying, who cares? You know, let them do their thing. They're not bothering us. Let them stay there. They're not coming after us. Mm. A lot of black people on Twitter saying, they're not chasing us. Let's just let them stay there. But this morning, Afrika Malani on Early Breakfast interviewed their leader and spoke to him about these issues. His name's Joost Strydom, in case you don't know. I mean, you've had quite a few experiences in Orania, Lester, so to that.
I've been to Orania three times. It's definitely not a place I would want to live. If people want to live by themselves, that's their thing, whether they being exclusionary on the other hand, that's exactly a different question.
And when Afrika pressed him at the end and said, how many white people live there? He sort of said, well, that's not the basis on which we sort of judge entry, so I can't answer you. But I ask you, Lester, were there black people living in Orania?
There were some workers when I was in Orania the three times, but they didn't live there.
Right.
But here's the thing about Orania. It is a piece of land which this organization owns.
In the Northern Cape.
In the Northern Cape. The thing is, they still have to... It's not a state. It is not an independent it is a residence association. Sometimes we give it a little bit too much power. It's a residence association. They still have to drive to the nearest town, to the Home Affairs office, to get their South African ID
and if they want to travel out of the country, they have to apply for passport.
They have to apply for a South African passport. If you want to talk about Orania has their own currency, no, Orania has a coupon system.
Right.
So you buy using your South African. It's a giant church bazaar.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Is the religious aspect quite a big part of it? Mm. I mean, if you're an Afrikaner,
fervent religion.
Because I was just wondering, like, if you're an Afrikaner but you're an atheist, would you be able to reside there?
I'm sure you
probably
would. Look, I was in Orania three times and it was announced. And I called up and said, hi, I'm coming to visit.
They opened the gates.
And I went, there are no gates. And people were friendly. Again, would I want to live there? No.
Can I just say that what he said, what Joost said to Afrika, because I really try to listen carefully. He said, Orania is, when Afrika pressed him on nation building and sort of saying, how is this 27 years into democracy not exclusionary? Mm. And he said, Orania is a perfect example of what social cohesion can be. This sounds like apartheid to me. Orania is internally a well-structured community with very low levels of internal stress between community members. And he continued, it stands in good relation to other neighboring municipalities. But as you said, it's not like they are actually a municipality. And also other communities. And when he says communities, he means, I think, people that are not white. But he said, that's why, he said, culture is undeniable in South Africa. And it is a frame of reference he agrees a lot of other thinkers wouldn't agree with. But he said, it is a part of South Africans, whether you're a Zulu, a Xhosa, or an Afrikaner. And he said he believes that to reduce friction and build relationships, you should have communities based on culture. What does that mean? I mean, what culture
It means that they want to set the rules of culture so that they can, on that basis, exclude people.
Exactly.
And in order to...
If you don't identify.
If you don't identify, and we don't identify as you, I'm sorry, based on our rules of association for our little residence association.
They're not answering the questions.
Well, the EFF got 3% of the vote in Orania in 2019. There are some undercover comrades. And when I say 3%, I say 12 votes. Like, you can't have... Like, I would understand, like, maybe
quite a lot.
5 joke votes in Orania.
But 12. It's a movement.
That means that they are undercover comrades. Some sleeper EFF commissars somewhere in Orania.
Oh, dear.
What else are we talking about?
Well,
today?
This story out of China, it's been trending. It's been a storm on Chinese social media. I'm hoping I'm going to be able to explain it correctly. So there was an article in the Communist Party-affiliated news site called RedNet that lamented how difficult it was for local bachelors to find wives in some of the rural areas. These villages, you know, a lot of people are moving to cities. This particular writer... In his piece, he said, local women aren't interested in living or marrying in poor villages. This mindset needs to be changed. And he referred to this as warming the older men's bed operation, Operation Warm the Older Men's Beds.
What?
Yeah, so he referred to it in his article. But let me just say, he wasn't some independent journalist. He writes for RedNet, which is the Communist Party-affiliated state media. And he called it Operation Warm the Older Men's Beds. And the idea was they want young women to come to the rural areas and marry men, I assume older men, and settle down with them and have their babies. And Chinese social media... is up in arms about it. They blasted RedNet for this whole concept and the government for this concept. Thousands of comments surfaced on the social media platform Weibo, criticizing it. One saying only slaves warm beds for their masters. Women are humans, not slaves, etc. Someone else said, if you want a warmer bed, you can just get a hot water bottle instead.
I am fascinated, particularly by videos on TikTok. Western culture is now entrenched largely in major cities in China. So there is a trend. There are parts of Beijing, Shanghai, some of the other major cities, where... there are social media photographers there, and people get dressed up to the nines in what would be the Western aesthetic of good looking. And it's model ramp runway.
Really?
It is really fascinating. And with friends who have lived in China and live in China, say that there's a greater sense of personal identity and particularly sexual liberation, particularly with young women in China.
Which then leads one to understand the latest statistics, which is why they are on this operation Warm the Old Man's Bed. According to the Chinese ministry, 8.13 million couples married in 2020, which is down 40% compared to 2013. That's a lot. Mm. And most recently, a new study found that almost half of China's young urban women prefer not to get married.
Gosh. And finally, Barbara, what's happening in Colorado?
Yeah, so this story is on every single media publication online and on social media, and that is an elk.
Oh, dear.
He's a very famous elk. He lives in Colorado in a national park, and he had been seen 2 years ago with a big tire. It was not a good year for him.
Tread carefully, Friedman. This is my territory, but go ahead.
I thought that's what rubs off on me.
Okay, so the elk has a tire
around his neck. And people have been trying. The parks have been, rangers have been trying for 2 years to catch him. But he's a beast. He's a massive elk now. He's a big grown-up elk, and they've really struggled to catch him. And finally, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Rangers have managed to catch the elk. They safely tranquilized him on Saturday. He's a 600-pound animal. They removed the tire. Unfortunately, they weren't able, because they don't stay down for long with the tranquil darts. Mm. They weren't able to cut the tire off from his necklace. They had to cut off his antlers. But I Googled, And elk's antlers are seasonal and they actually do grow back. So he is free. The elk is free of his tire. It has certain South African connotations, but I won't go there.
But really, really nice way to end.
Yeah, and just to say that the serious issue is people need to stop leaving rubbish in their gardens or throwing them away, because that's why animals end up in these situations. It's like the masks. Cut off the plastic, the tags before you throw your mask away. It ends up around a bird's neck.
People couldn't give a continental. Barbara Friedman, she joins us again tomorrow for Barb's Wire.